Let's read from the scriptures now. We turn to the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 is found after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 18. God's word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We end our reading there. So reads the word of God. Well, in the space of 1 month, the United Kingdom, as we know it, has transformed almost beyond recognition. At the start of March, our children were still in their classrooms, adults were still at work, people shook hands and hugged, public transport was full to the brim, people were tuning in to listen to traffic reports in the news. They went to cafes and restaurants and cinemas. They visited elderly relatives. They went to the gym. They had birthday parties and weddings and concerts. Football fans crammed into stadiums. Worshippers gathered in churches. 1 month ago, you could walk into the supermarket and you could find toilet roll, hand sanitizer, paracetamol in plentiful supply. You could get groceries delivered whenever you wanted. However, within a matter of days and weeks, life as we know it all across the world has changed entirely. On the 23rd of March, just 2 weeks ago tomorrow, our television screens show the Prime Minister sitting behind a desk. And he was about to announce some of the most extreme restrictions on individual liberty the UK has ever seen. You could only leave home to exercise once a day. You could only travel to and from work when absolutely necessary. You could only go shopping for essential items. You had to stand 2 metres apart from people you didn't live with. You weren't to gather in public groups bigger than two. And now, instead of people tuning in to traffic reports daily, they're now tuning in to coronavirus reports daily. Every day brings new guidelines, new figures. Life for all of us has changed so dramatically and so quickly. The very fact I'm speaking to you by means of this video is testament to that, isn't it? Today we're launching into a new series of sermons that we began last week. A series in the attributes of God. We're calling it Behold Your God, a biblical phrase. Behold Your God. And last week was something of an introduction. Why should we study God's attributes? What are these attributes and how will we go about studying them? Well, in this message, we want to dive right in by considering the immutability of God. The immutability of God, the fact that the triune God is unchanging. He is immutable. And I know it's a bit of a fancy word, but it's a good one. It's a good one. Immutable. Some of the children, some of the young people might be able to pick out some letters from the middle of this word. M-U-T. Mute. When I was a child, I enjoyed watching Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. Turtles that had mutated. They had changed into superheroes. And so the word mutant or mutation describes something that has changed. And when you put the letters I am in front of it, im in front of mute, well, that speaks of something that does not change, something that cannot change. And so you and I, we are mutable. We change all the time. But God is immutable. And in our ever-changing world, particularly so at present, we want to cast ourselves on the glorious truth that God is unalterable and unchangeable. He is immovable and immutable. It's not going to be an exhaustive treatment by any means. There's aspects of God's immutability I'm not able and I don't have time to deal with today in this address, but maybe we'll return to them another time. Do feel free, if it raises any questions, do feel free to interact with me. We have 2 points to consider together. We're going to spend most of our time in the first. We're going to be thinking, firstly, how God doesn't change, but then we'll think, secondly, how we must change. Those are the 2 points. God doesn't change, but we must change. So let's think firstly. God does not and cannot change. God does not and cannot change. And the Bible repeatedly highlights this characteristic of God. He doesn't change, he doesn't evolve, he doesn't grow, he doesn't increase, and he doesn't decrease. And while everything around us might ebb and flow and come and go, he stands unchanging, immutable. That's why the Bible so often speaks, and the Psalms so often speak and describe him as the rock of our salvation. He's the God who was and is to come. It's maybe helpful for us to consider several ways in which God's unchanging. I think it is helpful to think of them, to break them down. So let me mention just 5 ways God is unchanging. For one, he's unchanging in his character. He's unchanging in his character. By this, we're referring to his attributes as a whole. His essence, his perfection, his being. He's unchanging in his person. He is who he is forever. How unlike you and me. Remember, this is one of those attributes that describes God and God alone. Some attributes are true of both us and God. Goodness, for instance, love, wisdom. They could be called communicable attributes, true of God and us. But other attributes are true only of God. And the fact that God is unchanging, that is an incommunicable attribute. It's true only of God. Because we change all the time, don't we? Every birthday that comes round, it's a reminder of the change taking place within us, day by day, month by month, and year by year. Trends of fashion change, don't they? Hairstyles change. Political opinions, personal finances change. We're all changing. Some changes are for the better, others for the worse. Some people change after a significant event in their lives. Becoming a parent changes people. Depression changes a person. A stroke changes a person. Some of us, we long for change. Maybe some of us, we've been there, maybe we still are there, waiting for the report from the hospital, and we ask, is there any change? Is there any change? Let's understand, there's no change with God. He is forever and eternally the same. He cannot improve or get better. He doesn't need to improve because he's already perfect in his being, nor does he deteriorate, or else he wouldn't remain perfect. No. A few verses. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Psalm 102, verse 27. You are the same, and your years have no end. James 1, verse 17. He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So do you see, from Old Testament to New, from eternity past to eternity future, he's the same. He's the same. And this is true for all of his attributes, every single one of them. They're all unchanging. It's one of the reasons we're dealing with this attribute first. Because it says something about all of the rest. It says something about his holiness and his power and his sovereignty and his wisdom. Every attribute of God is unchanging. G.I. Packer says, he never becomes less truthful, less merciful, less just, or less good than he used to be. And friends, what an encouragement this is to us. Because you know full well, don't you, that life is full of change. Your friends might change. Your relationship status might change. Your address might change. Your health might change. But he changes not. Your children will change from being darling little babies to difficult teens to independent adults. Your jobs will change and come and go. Your money will change. It doesn't remain constant, but he remains the same. It's in him we live and move and have our being. And so when we approach the throne of grace, we don't need to worry what kind of mood God's in today, because he's forever the same. No mood swings. He's a rock. He's a fortress. He's a refuge. Stephen Charnock, an old writer on these subjects, he said this: what comfort would there be in praying to a God that, like a chameleon, changes colour every moment? God is not like the chameleon, boys and girls. He doesn't change colour every moment. He's forever the same. We can rely on him. He's unchanging in his character. He's unchanging in a second way. He's unchanging in his word. He's unchanging in his word. You'll all know that in these days of ours at the minute, laws are being changed. amended at great speed. Much of them absolutely necessary, of course. Our ruling authorities, they have the power to change law very, very quickly. However, some laws change and they bring us great sadness and disappointment, of course. Laws, for instance, regarding marriage or life in the womb. Earthly laws change all the time, some for better, some for worse. But his laws never change. His standards remain perfect and immovable. We have before us today the never-changing word of the never-changing God. A few verses remind us of this truth. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Forever fixed in the heavens. Or Psalm 119 again, verse 160. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Or famously, Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, that is to say, friends, we can bank our lives on the word of God. What he says here will forever remain true. His word is more reliable, more trustworthy, more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. What the Bible says is right will always be right. And what the Bible says is wrong will always be wrong. God does not have a changing set of moral values. His standards remain forever the same. And this is true for his promises as well, isn't it? We don't need to worry about a promise made by God in Scripture if it has expired or not. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 20. All the promises of God find their yes or find their amen in Christ. All that he's promised to do will and must come to pass. What a wonderful comfort again this is for the believer. We find tremendous security and help and blessing. We can turn to the unchanging promises of God. I will never leave you or forsake you. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, and it will be given to him. He's unchanging in his word. He's not going to go back on anything he said, anything he's promised. Unchanging in his word. In a third way, then, he's unchanging in his plans. Character, word, unchanging in his plans. That is, he's unchanging in his purpose, in his counsel, in his will. We often change our plans, don't we? I'm sure many of you have had well-laid plans, turned upside down at the minute. Maybe house plans, moving house plans or holiday plans, maybe plans to sit exams or plans to do this and that. Plans, purposes, they change for us all the time. Not, however, with him. Not with him. God planned from all eternity to save and elect people for himself. No one has ever changed that plan. He didn't make that plan in response to the fall. It was an eternal plan, long before the fall, before time even began. He doesn't change his plans or his purposes in response to a new situation. Nothing ever surprises him. He never rubs out his plan. He never has to amend his plan. He never has to add to his plan. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Aren't you glad, friend? Aren't you glad that the counsel of the Lord stands forever? Isaiah 14, verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Do you see? There's no such thing as plan B with God. There's no emergency measures, there's no contingency plan. No, his original, eternal plan and decree moves on day by day, unhindered, unrivaled. And so, Christian, as you look at the turbulent days we're living in just now, full of so much change and chaos, you need to take yourself to the immutability of God. And you need to cast yourself upon the immutability of God, the one who is unchanging in his plans. In a fourth way, he's unchanging in his Son. He's unchanging in his Son. Of course, it's the triune God who's unchanging, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as we thought last time, the attributes of God, that they're most clearly seen and fully seen in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And just listen to what the scriptures say about the changeableness of Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the same. And now it is worth remembering that there was both a human and a divine nature in the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And while his human nature changed, he changed and grew and developed in his human nature, the whole time there wasn't the slightest change in his divine nature. And you can say, from the cradle to the cross to the cave, Christ was always the immutable, unchanging God. And you can say, the Christ that we find in the pages of the Gospels, he's the same Christ today. The very same. He still makes all things new. He's still building his church. He's still the chief among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. As the hymn writer put it, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. He's unchanging in his Son. And then in a fifth sense, he's unchanging in his salvation. In his salvation. That is to say, the immutability of God is a tremendous anchor for our souls. Our great hope of salvation lies in this truth, that God remains exactly the same, and he will do exactly as he said he will do. And the Bible teaches that on those on whom God set his heart upon in eternity past with electing love, he will most certainly bring about their salvation, keeping them secure in his love, never letting them fall away. Romans 8, verse 30. Those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Do you see, once we're brought into the golden chain of God's eternal saving purposes, we're just as certain for heaven as if we'd already been there 10,000 years. Our eternal security is wrapped up in this doctrine, the immutability of God. And what a What a truth to let your heart be filled with today. That no matter what changes there are in the world, the affections of God towards his children will never, never change. James Montgomery Boyce puts it, God's attitude towards us now is the same as it was in the farthest reaches of eternity past. And it's the same as it will be in the farthest reaches of eternity to come. He has never loved us less, and he will never love us more than how much he loves us right now. What a truth that is. And nothing can separate us from the unfailing, unchanging love of this God, the rock of our salvation. So do you see how wonderful this attribute is? The immutability of God. God does not, he cannot change in his character, in his word, in his plans, in his son, and in his salvation. God does not and cannot change. However, secondly, we must and we can change. We must and we can change. Now, we've already established that we are not immutable. We change constantly. We've established that. That's so obvious to all of us. And yet, it does seem, doesn't it, that we give in to this myth that somehow we can't change, so that somehow it's impossible for us to change. There is that myth that goes around, and we feed that myth, don't we, in some of the things we say. If you've ever exchanged heated words with someone else, you've perhaps heard you or the other person say something like, you never listen to what I say, or you always leave your clothes there, you're never ready on time, or we always have potatoes for dinner. You always do that? You never do this? But that isn't true in the slightest, isn't it? We're not that consistent. We might often do something, or regularly do something, or frequently fail to do something. But as finite creatures, the words always or never don't really apply to us. They can only be truly spoken of God. However, just a health warning, if you find yourself in a heated debate with someone and they're using that kind of language, it's probably not the best time to use that kind of logic back towards them. The point, though, is we are not immutable. We do change, and we can change, and we must change. We must change. Far too often, when we're confronted with our weaknesses and failings and sins, our immediate response is usually to say something like, "Look, it's just who I am, really. It's my temperament. I'm wired that way. I can't really change that." But friends, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Whether we say it out of hopelessness or out of defiance, it's a lie to say that you can't change. There's only one person who does not change. That's God. God. You can change. And if you're watching and listening right now and you're not converted, you're not a Christian, you should know, you should be terrified of the immutability of God. While it is a wonderful thing for believers to think about, it should terrify unbelievers, because you cannot expect, you cannot hope that the justice of God will change on the day of judgment, or the holiness of God will change on the day of judgment. Some people would say something like this, I'll take a chance with God. I don't really care what the Bible says. I'll get to heaven. Maybe this God of yours, maybe he'll go easy on me and just let me in. But this is the God who never changes. He's unchangeable in his holiness and his justice. And you know, unending torment in hell will be the clearest proof to the unbeliever that God truly is unchanging. If you should know, if you're not saved, you should know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an unchanging God. And you must change today. And so drastic is the change that the Bible describes it as being born again. How great a change is that? It describes it as moving from darkness to light, from death to life, from being lost to being found. It's an immense change. You must change. You must be changed. And maybe Christian, as you're watching, maybe it's a loved one that you know and they need this change. Well, you should know too that there's no human heart in all the world that is immutable. No human heart is immutable. No human heart is so hard that he cannot soften it. The king's heart, Proverbs says, the king's heart is like a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it wherever he will. He can change a heart. Maybe for some listening, God has recently begun a work in your life. And often when that happens, the person involved, they find that their whole view of the world is changing. Friends change, and interests change, and desires change. And they're nearly all good changes, but it can be an unsettling time. And maybe the new Christian is struggling. Where can stability be found, or consistency, or reliability? Well, you should come and you should throw yourself on the one who changes not. Are you feeling tossed to and fro today? Cast yourself on the rock. Bring all your change to him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So can you see then, Christian, change in your life and mine? It's always possible. It's always possible. Maybe there's something in your life, some trait, some characteristic, some habitual sin that you just hate and you would long for it to be different. Change is possible. Change is possible. What was it Paul said to the Corinthians, some of whom had been thieves and drunkards and adulterers and homosexuals? What was it he said? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. In other words, you were changed. Friend, you and I, we can change, and Jesus can grow fruit in you that wasn't there before. I'm not a patient person. You can change. I'm an angry person. I fly off the handle. You can change. I struggle constantly with thoughts of lust. You can change. Your children can change. Your parents can change. Your marriage can change. Your family life can change. And maybe through this season of lockdown, God is doing this to you, and he's chipping away at you, and he's chiseling away at your life, molding and shaping you to be more like him. Paul writes to the Corinthians later, 2 Corinthians 3, 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, were being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. In an ever-changing world, we rely on the unchanging grace of the unchanging God to change us into the men, the women, the boys, the girls that he wants us to be. Or to put it another way, in this crazy world of change, the immutable God the Father is changing us by his Spirit to be more like his immutable Son. Though we might change, and everything around us might change, one thing is sure. He will not change.